One of the best remembered and most financially successful stories in the history of Detroit radio was the debut of WKNR. The former afternoon DJ on Keener, Gary Stevens, recalls just for you the early days there.
Well, a broadcasting consultant named Mike Joseph had been hired by the owners of what was then WKMH to put the station in shape. It was very poor in the rating books, and business was acceptable, but not what they felt it should be doing. So he came in, and there were three rock stations at that time, CKLW, WJBK, and WXYZ. And he decided that he was going to make it a highly formatted top 40 radio station. I was kind of unhappy in the situation I was in St. Louis, and called Mike, and he said, send a tape, let's see if we can do something. And I sent him a tape, and he said, fine, you're our new 7 to midnight guy. You'll do the night show, just what we want. So I gave my notice in St. Louis, and my wife and I journeyed to Detroit. And when I got there, I discovered that they had tried to hire Dave Prince, who was at that time doing part-time at WXYZ, to come over to what was going to become Keener, what was at that time WKMH, as their afternoon man. And when Dave turned it down, they said, well, all right, Gary, welcome to Detroit. You're the afternoon man. And that's how I became the afternoon man.
It's Bobby Freeman, number 21 this week on Keener, 10 minutes after 6 on the Gary Stevens Show.
Keener, 1-3 Weather Tower.
Very cool tonight. The low's going to be 60. Tomorrow, sunny, a little warmer, the high 80. WKNI temperature in Detroit right now on the Gary Stevens Show, 82.
Now, on Keener, from the WKNI Music Guide this week, here's the song that's rated
number one.
Where did our love go?
Gary, how would you evaluate the station then and now, following the change to Keener 13?
I think you have to characterize WKMH as what it was at the time. It was a real losing proposition. It had tried to be a major station so many times and failed that generally within the industry, in terms of those of us who worked as disc jockeys, it was regarded as a pretty bad move to go there. And I must admit that when I arrived there, everything that people had told me, that it was a run-down facility, that it had kind of been a real slipshod operation for so many years, struck me immediately. And when I saw the physical facility out in Michigan Avenue, which in those days was a kind of a terrible, beat-up old building, I sort of said to myself, my God, what have I done? You know, why am I here?
Repeating that for the West Coast, please. Get him! Get him, Willy Burger! We got the biggest mice around this place you have ever seen.
Did you never leave me?
Billy J. Kramer.
I'll be set in blue.
Number 12 this week.
Don't you ever leave me?
It's bad for me.
I'm so in love with you.
We wonder, too, Gary, your first impression when you arrived in Detroit.
My first impression was to say, well, look, it's winter coming on. We got there in October, and I said, well, we'll do what we have to do here, and as soon as the snow stops falling, why, I'll see if I can't get myself a better job somewhere else. But in a million years, I never expected the station to do as well as it did. I don't think any of us did, and I think that's why it did so well.
WKNR, AM, FM, Dearborn. Offices in the Sheraton Cadillac, Detroit.
Come on, everybody!
I'm
gonna show you how
to do that new dance called the Shut Up. Oh, wait a minute, that ain't right. Let's do the swim! Bobby Freeman! Woo!
Gary, what about the attitude of the original DJs at WKNR?
We were all kind of between things when we went to what became Keener. When I got there, I didn't even know it was going to be called Keener. The call letters stood for Mrs. Knorr, KNR. Was an abbreviation of Mrs. Nora's name, and somebody said, hey, that makes Keener, doesn't it? And the next thing you knew, we were Keener.
WKNR, Keener 13.
And at the time, the thing that struck me the most was the high degree of professionalism, which a guy named Frank Maruca, who was with the station up until very recently, exhibited in terms of the outside promotion that we did. We hit with some great advertising in the newspapers, mailers to the agencies were all done highly professionally. And I thought we did an excellent job of making ourselves known.
We talk with Frank Maruca, who recently left WKNR, about the big push to the Keener 13.
When we went into WKNR, kicked off the new sound, so to speak, we committed about $130,000 to promotion, newspaper ads, I think there were some television spots, a music guide, which I don't think this town had ever seen before. We printed 50,000 copies a week, distributed through the record stores. We had posters, 200,000 bumper stickers, and so on. We did a teaser campaign for about 8 or 10 days prior to the actual kickoff of the sound, a teaser campaign in the newspapers, then followed with a series of full-page ads to let everybody know what we were doing. One of the keys to a radio station is, of course, to build the ratings as quickly as possible, because when you change formats, it's like going back to zero and starting all over again.
A fella named Mike Joseph, the consultant hired to make WKNR a number one station, had some ideas that apparently didn't go over too well, according to Gary Stevens.
Mike Joseph himself had installed a very rigid format for us. When he left, we had every 3 minutes formatted. We were supposed to have baby talk with tips on babies and stock talk on tips on stock. It was supposed to be a complete service radio station. And as soon as he left, we threw his whole format out. Now, in later years, he got credit for having programmed the station, but very frankly, the station was programmed by three or four of us who just stuck our heads together and said, well, this is what we're going to do. But I really think that the success of the radio station was based on the fact that everybody just really wasn't consumed with the idea of will we or will we not make it.
Music. That's our middle name. WKNR. Music. Keener 13.
Frank Maruca remembers Mort Crowley, WKNR's original morning man, and one of his more memorable stunts.
Mort Crowley, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, because unfortunately it made the front page of both papers, but as the station became immensely popular, we began to have tremendous problems with the telephone company, because we just didn't have the facilities, and neither did the phone company have the facilities to handle the volume of phone calls we were getting. And Mort was doing a thing with factory workers on his morning show, and we finally had to say, Mort, you can't do it, because the phone company is going to take all our telephones out if we don't quit blocking all our exchanges. So one morning, Mort goes on the air and accuses the phone company of being a monopoly and throws in the gas and electric companies for good measure and so forth and resigns on the air.
Frank Maruca. Mort Crowley remembers, too. Mort is now at a St. Louis radio station. He remembers...
When I was there, we were hooked up in a battle with two other radio stations that were playing the same kind of music. You had three rockers in the market. I think that meant four rockers in the market. And plus your rhythm and blues stations. And it was perhaps one of the wildest markets outside of Denver in 57, 58, that I've ever been in. It was kind of, up and at them, get out of bed in the morning and go for that red meat every day.
Let's go!
Now! Here's hitline song number three.
I foxed you. No, it isn't. It's number one.
There may be clouds in the sky.
Yeah, they're gonna go now.
That's the big number five song. From our Keener Music Guide on the Mortimer Crowley Mortecular Saturday Show. That's the number four song from our Keener Music Guide, the Nitty Gritty Ride there. Here's Crowley and Company. Good morning, you.
Highly competitive, highly spirited. Tensions, of course, were very high. Personal drive, personal ambition was very, very, very high. A lot of esprit de corps in the radio station, and that's why I think they went so far with the people they had.
Music. Hello. This is Dick Pertin on the air every morning on Keener from 5 until 9. Goodbye.
Apply the nonstop sound of Keener 13, 9 to noontime daily on the Ted Clark Show. Right, Stella?
You said it!
Hi there, this is Jerry Goodwin. Noon to 3 daily on WKNR, the best thing that ever happened to the Bob Green Show.
Not just a minute. Oh, it's the Greeny Bob Show. 3 to 7 o'clock at Keener when it's time for the Scott Regan Show.
With much more music.
Squeak! Hello there, it's me, Rodney the Wonder Rodent. Reminding you to set your watch. It's 10 to 1 now.
Hello, everybody. Jim Jeffries all night long on WKNR.
And Paul Cannon, Saturdays on Keener 13 with nonstop
music. That's our middle name, WKNR. Music. Keener 13.
Bob Green was around back in 1961 at a Dearborn station called WKMH. He recalls,
I was at WKMH back in 1961 when Keener was WKMH at that time, owned by Nora Broadcasting. And I was hired to come from a little town in New York State called Geneva, New York. And it was just a thrill to me, first of all, to come to a market as big as Detroit. Detroit happens to have a great reputation around the country. People who live here don't realize what a great city this is in many areas. And one of them, of course, is in terms of radio. It's a city of opportunity for people in radio. It has been. I hope it'll continue to be. And when I had a chance to come here, I would have paid $150 a week to just come and work here. I came and was at WKMH until the end of 60, actually the middle end of 62. And at that time, WKMH was floundering around with about 10 different formats. And nothing was particularly successful, and there were problems. And I was getting kind of itchy, and I had a call from a fellow in Miami, Florida, who heard a tape of me and said he was interested in talking with me, and it ended up being WQAM, which is the big station in all of the state of Florida. Good opportunity, and I took it and went to Miami. Sunshine, beautiful sailboats and whatever, and missed Detroit every minute of my stay for a year in Miami. If you can imagine missing Hazen S. Pingree Boulevard when you're down on Collins Avenue, that must be something else. And I think I'm not alone. I think if you'll talk to whether it's Tom Clay or whether it is Mark Avery or whether it is Dave Schaefer or whether it is Lee Allen or whoever, whomever, has been in Detroit radio, you'll find that if they left, they came back.
It's a Keener weekend.
Certainly is.
Will the skies be blue? Here's a look at the weekend weather tower from 13. Weather just for you.
Oops, wrong switch. What would the world be without these little traumatic events, right? Clearing and cool in the night with a low of 40, sunny and cool on Saturday, and a high tomorrow of 65. Lake warnings are displayed, moderate west winds. And the temperature is 61 right now.
Now on Keener 13, here's another Keener lucky license number.
Okay, let's see. We have $82 in the jackpot. $82. Listen carefully now. For your license plate number to be read, it's DY, like in do yawn or something. 4647 DY 4647. D is in dog, Y is in yoke. 4647. It's worth $82. Give us a call right now if you've got the number to call. TI65666 if your license plate is DY 4647.
Bob Green recalls to the switch to WKNR.
The mid of 63, I was informed by people that I had come to know in Detroit 2 years before that WKNR, KMH, was going to change to WKNR, and they were going to really do it to this market. And I wasn't about to believe that because I had been through some pretty bad days in 1961. And, of course, I knew that there were rockers in this market. WXYZ was a top 40 station. CKLW was sort of a half and half top 40. WJBK was top 40 station. And, wow, how many top 40s can this market take? Well, in 1963, I realized at that time that they had the right thing in mind. And what they had in mind for WKNR was a total station sound. In other words, WXYZ had some very good air personalities, but they were all going in their own direction. Each man was an island. There was no total direction or total concept of one radio station with one format and one sound and one goal. Everybody had their own little bag that they were in. And they were playing 100 records, and so was WJBK playing 100 records. And they were loose, and they weren't tight production, and they weren't contests, and they had no phones on the air with, contestants. And there was just no pizzazz in Detroit radio, although there were some good DJs. So I came back from Miami in October of 1963, and along with people like Gary Stevens and Mort Crowley was there at the time, Robin Seymour was a holdover from WKMH, we put together a sound which just plain took off. It was called by Bill Gavin, the miracle baby of the industry. And indeed it was, because within 30 days, we went from ratings that were like, rating services showed us at a 0.3% of audience, which is practically nothing. Maybe a zero, maybe at the highest a 1%. Within a month, we went to 6s and 7%. Within 2 months, we were 14%. And within 3 months, we were solid number one across the board.
Wow, we have a winner!
Hi, we got a winner. Who is this?
Cindy Seal.
Yes, it is Cindy Seal. Hi, Cindy. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. I'm glad you just made the call in the time there. And we're going to, of course, send you the Jito Keter plush tiger, you know, which you put in the back of the car. How would you like to win the automobile?
Oh, geez.
Be nice, huh? How old are you, Cindy?
18.
You can drive it, too, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
Good. Well, listen, your car goes back in the barrel, as you may already know, but we're telling you now, the car does go back in the barrel, and you, of course, are eligible again to win that Keter Jito Tiger worth $4,000, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much for calling us. We'll send you the Tiger.
All right.
Okay, Cindy, bye.
The lively one means we can find WKNR Keener 13.
We once did a thing on the show where I decided in the middle of the show that I was hungry for pizza, and I asked for pizzas, and they brought several, and I thought, hey, you know, I think I'll have a contest where I will give these record albums I'm playing out to anybody who brings them by and wins for the best pizza. And here I take a microphone in the middle of my show with a 200-foot-long cable and walk down the hall out onto Michigan Avenue, set up a card table, and sit there in a chair and stop traffic from Schaefer to Greenfield all the way. With over, as I recall, there were over 400 pizzas brought by that night, all of which I had to sample. Got very ill, but stopped traffic. This is something that you, of course, don't see in radio today.
In 1970, WKNR was sold, and Bob Green was rehired.
New management came in 1970, and then I was rehired. I had been fired with everybody else. I was rehired as program director in the middle of 1970, and we got started with something new, but of course, we inherited 2 years of a very bad image at the station. And CKLW just kept on pushing.
The greatest hits of all time, presented by CKLW. The most famous song and gold song of the other night, Dark Show. All we get from
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Edwards.
CKLW. We asked Bob Green, too, for his opinion of progressive rock radio.
Most of us who started in radio at that age, or started in radio in the late 50s or early 60s, we got into radio and we ate, slept, and lived radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We got in the studio, and you put me on the air, and wow, I loved it. I loved what I was doing. I loved radio. An interesting thing is happening in progressive radio, and this is not to make a generalization about it, because surely there are plenty of good radio people who are interested in and involved in progressive radio. On the other hand, it was an interesting thing to watch that many of the people who had got into progressive radio originally, and some are still in, indeed were not at all radio people, but radio was their vehicle to promulgate and to pass on their ideas about the philosophy they believed in, the new culture. But whoever it is going to get on there and promulgate their philosophy, but and try to anyway, try to get on there and tell people all about how great it is to be on drugs or whatever. Heaven forbid, but whatever it is, this is what it was used for. And so, of course, it was a headache to many, many station people.
Thanks, Bob Green. Jerry Goodwin was a former WKNR Top 40 DJ. Today, he's a WABX doing his thing, and apparently regrets ever being labeled a so-called DJ.
The interesting thing about the staff that they got, that they gathered for the for O. Keener was that we were all ex-program directors from the stations that we were, you know, they hired us, and from those stations, we were the program directors of those respective stations, so they got themselves a crew of heavyweights, frankly, you know. And I think the most amazing thing in my recollection since I've been in the industry was the fact that in 91 days, WKNR had taken over this market, and it became media history, as a matter of fact. No station in the history of media had come into a city with such overwhelming odds, frankly, and did to a city what we did to Detroit and to Detroit radio. It was just a really far-out thing. You know, we were voted in 1965 the most outstanding rock station in the country, as a matter of fact. So it was pretty far out.
Big man in town, the number 10 song in Detroit of the Jerry Goodwin Show.
WKNR.
is near and far. Nasty tunes pour.
More of the Jerry What? No Giblet Gravy Goodwin Show on Keener 13, WKNR.
Let's go!
That's the neck this afternoon.
We had some killer people who have gone on to bigger and better things. Gary Stevens, the crazed Gary Stevens, is now a part station owner and manager of KRIZ out in Phoenix. And, you know, so there were some heavyweight people. And it was a very exciting time in radio in my life, you know. This was 1971. And as the times have changed, so hasn't radio, so haven't I.
Jerry Goodwin's attitude has been greatly altered. Today, he's convinced free-form radio is where it's all at.
This is the most exciting radio station in the United States right now, WABX. Believe it or not. Once again, from the same source that voted Keener the outstanding station, that's Billboard Magazine, they have made that statement about WABX in Detroit, the most exciting radio station in the country, because it is the most unformatted, loosest radio station in the country. Now, I'm talking about commercial stations. Now, I know that there are... public-owned stations. BAI in New York, of course, is the most bizarre, and some of the Pacifica stations, but these are public stations, non-commercial. But this is the furthest out commercial station, and part of the reason is because the commercials. We have a deal where we don't take a commercial on this radio station unless we all here as a staff approve it and then write the copy. We don't care who it's for. We've got some of the furthest out stuff for certs and for Sports Illustrated that we have written here personally that, frankly, if they heard them, man, I don't know if they could cop to what we were doing. But this is one of the things that we do. We are in an educational situation here. Part of the thing that we're doing is education as far as the industry, our own industry, is concerned. We're also educating the public. I feel that this radio station has been so unique because of the lack of format. Our format is that we have no format.
The Jerry Goodwin philosophy on Detroit radio appears to be sharply defined.
It's really terrible. It's the most unimaginative radio, I can't say in the country, because frankly I think that all AM radio is terribly unimaginative. And I really feel that I can speak from experience. I did 12 years AM radio, you know. But it is so unimaginative. I never knew how obnoxious I sounded until I listened to an AM station today. I didn't realize how really obnoxious I was on the air as an AM rock and roll disc jockey, you know. Until I've heard some of the dudes that are on the air right now.
Hi there, this is Jerry Goodwin, noon to 3, daily on WKNR, the best thing that ever happened to the Bob Green Show.
Not just a minute.
WKNR, music, Keener 13.
Former WKNR program director Frank Maruca is in partial agreement with Mr. Goodwin concerning Detroit radio's lack of imagination.
I think that radio in Detroit today, for the most part, is lost. Several years ago, we got into a more music bag, and I think each station tried to out-music the others. Some of them shortened newscasts or took newscasts off the air so that they could play more records. Some of them even speeded up their records so they could get more music per hour in. The DJs were told to give time and temperature and a record intro if you had enough time to do a record intro. I know I'm simplifying things that are really very scientific formats to some of these programmers, but there is no creativity in radio in Detroit today, but I think the reason there is no creativity is that I don't think that the programmers understand the market. They don't relate to what the people are thinking of. This is true not only of programmers, it's true of the disc jockeys. And I think it's especially true of newsmen. So now we have, I believe, the last count I made, it was 17 commercial FM radio stations in the Detroit area, not to mention the educational stations, in addition to all of these AM stations. And we have every conceivable type of programming going on in these stations, but nobody doing what they do exceedingly well.
Frank Maruca. One of the most creative people ever to work for WKNR was a young man by the name of J. Michael Wilson. Mike was the late evening personality at Keener in 1967 and 68. J. Michael was probably most remembered for his squeaky-voiced friend, Rodney the Rodent. We talk with Mike about the old days and the birth of Rodney.
Rodney evolved from an Easter bunny and through crossbreeding and natural selection and all those Darwinian type terms, this talking rodent evolved, and I painstakingly taught him to talk. Matter of fact, I still have the pain stakes to prove it. Steve Allen, 1959.
Oh, J. Michael Wilson. A person?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You're at 33 and a half after 10. Can I blast in with a Rodney Rodent joke?
Well, if it's a funny one, you can. Is it a funny one, Rodney?
Is it a funny joke?
Well.
I should hope to shout, Michael.
All right.
It's very funny. It's a definition. But you know what a meatloaf is? What's meatloaf?
What's meatloaf?
That's a butcher on vacation.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Rodney.
Pretty rich, huh?
Wasn't
that a hairy one, Michael?
We're not looking for that kind. No,
I can tell by that look on your grunk. You didn't like it, Michael.
Right.
There it is, friends. Another Rodney Rodent.
Ooh.
Anyway, Rodney's been with me a number of years, and we are still together in Buffalo. We've been together in Toronto. We've been through the thick and the thin together. Did I beat around the bush sufficiently there?
J. Michael Wilson, 1050 Chum.
Hitline requested from a Freddie Farkle up in Fenelon Falls, Ontario. It's Simon and Garf.
Ay, 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 what a slobbery mess. I might remind you, everybody, tomorrow if you plan on listening to the show, you might put a newspaper under the radio.
Just say goodnight, Rodney.
Good night, Rodney. Big Tom Rivers at 6:05. Ugh.
J. Michael Wilson, why did you and the aforementioned Rodney the Rodent ever leave Detroit?
Let me see. In mid-1968, the fall of that year, I believe, I left WKNR for CHUM, Chum, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and I'm often asked, why did I go up there? I did not go to avoid the draft. I think I should say that at the outset. I went because it was another step in my career, I felt. I started out in a small station in Casper, Wyoming, K-A-T-I, Katie the Cutie in Casper. How they got an ugly guy like me on the Cutie in Casper, I don't know, but it's been an evolutionary process of moving to bigger markets and bigger challenges, and Chum in Toronto is Canada's premier pop music station, and it was just an exciting opportunity for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to J. Michael Wilson.
1050 Chum, Toronto.
431 here on Chum. Hitline request number 870-9141. Why don't you give me a call?
Weak, boy, I sure envy that Johnny Mitchell, the midday marvel here on Chum, you know, Michael.
Because he's so good, Rodney, or what? Huh?
Well, no, not because he's so good, but because he's making so much money outside the station. You know, he made over $3,000 extra last month.
How did he do that, Rodney?
He's selling discount antifreeze to Volkswagen owners in Orangeville.
All right, why don't you beat it, huh? That isn't what I meant.
This is the human heart.
I guess my chief memory then of Detroit radio would have been the quality of WKNR.
J. Michael Wilson, WKNR, Keener 13.
Want to see those Pistons eat Philadelphia's lunch, don't we? Oh, we do. This is Marvin Gaye. 49 at the Weather Tower, 7 from the Guide. Ain't that peculiar? One time. We'll listen together to a few memorable stories of early Detroit radio and talk with some of the truly professional people in the business. That upcoming in the next segment of Detroit Radio, then, now, and tomorrow.